Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Let's go to the Word of God, 1 John 4:4. While you're turning there, a drunk stumbled across a baptismal service on Sunday afternoon down by the river. He proceeded to stumble down into the water and stand next to the preacher. The minister turns and noticed the old drunk and said, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk looked at the preacher and said, "Yes, sir, preacher, I am." The minister then dunks the fellow under the water and pulls him right back up. "Have you found Jesus?" the preacher asked. "No, I haven't," said the drunk. The preacher then dunked him again for quite a bit longer this time. Brings him up and says, "Now, brother, have you found Jesus?" "No, I have not, Reverend." The preacher, in disgust, holds the man under the water for at least 30 seconds this time. Brings him out of the water and in a harsh tone says, "My God, man, have you found Jesus yet?" The old drunk wiped his eyes and said to the preacher, "I haven't found him yet. Are you sure this is where he fell in?" You'll get it on the way home. Just listen to the podcast a couple times. 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." I haven't even preached on that yet, them. There's always a them that we're going to have to overcome. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to learn how to write yourself into the text. Greater is he that is in Brandon than is in the world. I want to finish, hopefully finish the series. It wasn't even supposed to be a series, but we got all excited last week, and I didn't get through with the series, Greater in Me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I've got something great on the inside of me." You may be seated. Great, great things, great ideas, great content comes from great people. I believe everyone in this building, within the sound of my voice, those watching live stream, those that will pull this podcast up this week, those that will pull this podcast up years from now, I believe that everyone that hears this, that they've got greatness on the inside of them. I believe, and I preached last night to the young people, I believe that everything that God has planned for your life, that you are either born with it in you or the Holy Spirit will give it to you. And so when we realize that God created us for a specific purpose, that God didn't create a purpose for me after I was born, he literally created me for a God-creative purpose and then put me on this earth, that means that there's greatness on the inside of me. I've got to expose that greatness. I've got to make sure that greatness is showcased, grows, matures, is unleashed. I think our jobs as pastors is to give perspective to people. Perspective can happen on Sunday mornings, but what I'm talking about is more from a discipleship place, where as a pastor in smaller group settings and in leadership, one of the things that I believe God calls us to do is to recognize greatness inside of people and then to do our best to pull that out to the forefront and to make sure that whatever God has called them to do, that we help them achieve that call, achieve that purpose, and become anointed to do those things. And so if you don't want people to talk about you, as Bishop has said, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. But the moment you step out and you start saying, "I am what God has called me to be," and the moment that you put your hand to the plow, come on, church, the moment that we become busy about the Father's business and it becomes vitally important for us to advance kingdom and to push kingdom forward, I believe that the devil attacks us with all that he has. He attacks us to keep us from becoming what God has declared us to be, what he's created us to be. He attacks us in ways to keep us from being productive. I've said it many times that the devil doesn't want you to go to heaven, but there's some of us, he's already given up on that. He already knows there's no way I can talk them out of heaven, but I'm going to make their life here on earth as much like hell as I can. But I am here to tell you the devil is a liar and he is a lie. He has already been defeated. And I've got to remind you, and the Holy Spirit needs to remind us on the daily that he is a defeated foe, and he does not have a place in our life. He is under our feet. He is behind our back. Anything that he's working with now, he's working on counterfeit money, faux credit cards. He has stolen identities, because the Bible says at the end of the age, when we see the devil in all of his non-glory, we will literally say to God, is this the one that made nations tremble? Is this the one that almost killed my marriage? Is this the one that almost stole my children? Is this the one that tried to make me live in poverty? If you could see the devil like God sees the devil, you would square your shoulders. You would walk with a little more confidence. You would be able to put him in his place. You ever play whack-a-mole down there at the carnival? Every time he puts his head up, you just pound it right back under and say, not today, devil, not ever, devil. I'm not who I used to be, and I'm becoming everything God has called me to be, because I've got something greater in me. What is on the inside matters. Eventually, what is internally believed will be externally expressed. Chad Beach says, give everybody time, because time tells on everybody. You can only be fake for so long. That's why when you enter these relationships on Christian Mingles, and Farmers Only, and Where Ebony's Meet, and eHarmony, we got to think of another Christian one. Where Holy Ghost happens, I don't know. We got to think of one for the Holy Ghost people. But when you meet people, you got to give them some time to show the real them to you. And whether we're even talking about relationships or just life, let's be really, really slow in who we call our best friend. Let's be really, really slow with who we call our praise partner, or who we're going to enter a business venture with. And give them time to show, do you really have something great on the inside of you? Because I need to know when all hell breaks loose, you're not going to run, tuck your tail, and hide, but you're going to stand toe-to-toe with the adversary. I want to know who I'm fighting with. I want to know who I'm back-to-back with or shoulder-to-shoulder with, because I know that the devil is coming, because I'm stepping out to do great things, and I need to know that you're going to fight like I'm going to fight, that you're going to invest what I'm going to invest, and you're going to do what I'm going to do. John 10:10, catching everybody up. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil will come at you, but you decide whether he comes into you. He comes at you to see what's in you. The devil comes at you to see what's in you. He tests you to see, are you going to let him get by with what the person two streets down let him get by with? The devil comes the living way to see, is living way going to let me stir up some strife and trouble like the church down the road or in the next town over did? And I am here to tell you, living way is not that church. We are not that people. We have put the devil on the run individually, and he can't set up shop here. I'm going to tell him like the angels told him, I bring the blood of Jesus against you. You cannot do what you want to do. You have to do what I tell you to do. He comes at you to see what is in you. Comes at you to see what is in you. The word says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It doesn't say that he does. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy all God has done. That's your past. Every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father, that's James chapter 1. The devil wants to take every good thing that God has given you or done from you, for you. He wants to steal it from you. He wants to steal all the past. But the devil also comes to steal, kill, and destroy all that God is going to do. It's called opportunity. It's called future. The devil wants to steal the open door that God is about to place in your September of 2019. God wants to rob you of a future relationship and show he'll keep you stagnant. He'll keep you standing still, and he comes to rob you of what might have been. But I want to encourage you, the devil does not have that kind of access or authority in your life unless you give it to him. And so I know the devil, what he comes to do, but he's not going to do it at my house. Your adversary always attacks in the present, in the now, to rob you of past victory and future victory. What is in us, church, matters. What comes out of your mouth when you hit your thumb with a hammer matters. When you get a pink slip, your attitude matters. When your best friend sticks a knife so far in your back, it comes out the front, what comes out of your mouth matters. It's not just in the good times. It is when everything is not as it should be. Because when everything comes against me, what is in me is going to come out of me. And I need to make sure that what is in me is all God. It's all faith. It's all spirit. That's what the devil does not know what to do with a believer. That he throws everything at you but the kitchen sink. And sometimes he throws the kitchen sink. And here you are on a Sunday and you're still worshiping. Here you are on a Tuesday and you're still spending time with God in study and in worship. You have people slap you across your face and you turn the other cheek and you start running out of cheeks and you still just grin at them, smile at them, bless them and say, you better be glad I'm not who I used to be, but now I've got something greater on the inside of me. Somebody say amen. Which brings us to 2 Corinthians 4:8. Chapter 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. We used to sing a song back in the late 90s, early 2000s that said this exact thing. There are four promises here: troubled, but not distressed, perplexed, but not despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. To understand verse 8 and verse 9, let's go back to verse 7 because it gives us context. How are those four promises received and activated in the life of the believer? I'm glad you asked. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The reason I can be troubled and not perplexed, the reason that I can be perplexed but not despaired, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down and not destroyed, has nothing to do with me, but has everything to do with the treasure that lives on the inside of this earthen vessel. That's why it's so crazy that we take pride in what color we are. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has everything to do with the treasure on the inside of you. Because the treasure on the inside of you is God-given. Out of that treasure becomes your greatest value. And out of that treasure becomes the most important part of you. Because it is the treasure that allows us to be attacked, to be persecuted, for trouble to show up. But because I have a treasure in me, the treasure will not let me die like the rest of the world dies. Why? Because I've got a treasure. And so it becomes vitally important that I make sure the treasure is there. If someone were to break into your house, you're not running to the pantry to see if they stole the beans. You're not running to your 4-year-old's bedroom to see if they stole his pillowcase. You're running to the place that you've got valuables to make sure that they didn't steal the valuable thing. Can I encourage you that when you get up and you put on the armor of God every day, and when you put on the mind of Christ every day, that we do so in such a way saying, God, the reason that I'm doing this is not so I don't die in a car crash, and I might pray about that, keep me safe, keep me protective, but what I'm really saying is God, what you have placed in me that is valuable, don't let anything in my day rob me of your spirit, rob me of your presence, rob me of your blessing and favor in my life. And so when the devil comes against me and hits me with all that he has, I don't check and make sure my fingernails are still there. I say, is the treasure there? When somebody gets shot at, they start feeling themselves. Have I been hit? When you wake up tomorrow morning, put on the full armor of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. What am I doing? I'm making sure that my treasure's still there. I know we work on the earthen vessel, and I know we comb our hair. I know we comb our hair and we make sure that every hair is in place and we make sure that we smell good and we look good and we put on our best clothes so that we can go to work, and I understand the importance of all of those things, but don't you leave the house until you've checked to make sure that the treasure that I went to bed with is still there. I'm not leaving my treasure on the countertop. I'm not leaving what happens. The fight I had with my spouse at breakfast is not going to rob me out of my treasure, because if I leave this house, I'm going to make sure my treasure treasure is there. Therefore, when I am persecuted, I know I'm not forsaken. Why? Because God will not leave the treasure he has invested in me. I encourage you, somebody pulls a gun on you and asks you for your wallet, give it to them. The most valuable thing you have are not your credit cards. I wish somebody would steal and pay my bills. The most valuable part of you is you. And don't let anybody lie to you. It's not what you can do for them. The most valuable part of you is you. God has hidden a valuable thing. The most precious part of you cannot be seen. That's why God would say in 1 Samuel 16 and 17, don't look on the outward appearance, because I don't look at that thing. I look on the inside. I look at what matters the most. I look for the treasure that I hid in them from the beginning of time. He said, I'm troubled but not distressed. What does that mean? That trouble comes, trouble happens, but I'm not stressed out about it. Have you ever met somebody that is just so chill all the time? You're going to find this very odd. Tyler, as much as I like to think he's like me, he's like Mandy. Tyler's one of the most chill dudes I know. I can give him the worst news of his life, and he says the same thing every time with this phraseology and this look on his face. That's terrible. And then he just goes on and does whatever he's going to do. He's so much like Mandy, personality-wise. Jaden is so much like me, where I can tell her something little, and I mean, we're ready to go fight somebody over it. And you know, trouble's going to come. Jesus said tribulation's going to happen. Things are going to not be right in your life. But understand this, you've got a treasure on the inside of you. It's greater in you than what you're facing. Trouble's going to show up, but the greatness in you is stronger than the trouble that is going to happen. Don't let 1 minute of the day ruin 24 hours. Don't let 1 day of the week ruin 7 days. Don't let 1 week ruin a month. Don't let 1 month ruin a year. Don't let a bad year ruin a decade. Shake those things off and say, God, I wish that didn't happen, but I'm just going to let the treasure do what the treasure is designed to do. I'm going to build myself up in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make sure that I'm prayed up. I'm going to make sure that I stay up so that no matter what trouble comes, I combat that trouble. James 1, 2, and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. I have literally said in my life many times, Pastor Mandy, how was your day? Today was a counted all joy day, meaning nothing went right. Truck wouldn't start. Jumper cables are in another vehicle. I live out in the country now, so tow trucks takes a lot to get them. And you let that one thing just unravel the rest of your day. And then you start snapping at your spouse because of a tire or because your car wouldn't start. Or you go in and you mouth off to your boss and now you get fired. Or you get written up. All because we didn't know that our treasure was greater than trouble. And your treasure is greater than trouble. I don't know what trouble awaits us tomorrow, but I do know this. My treasure is greater than the trouble. I don't know what the doctor's going to tell me the next time. I do know a couple things the doctor's going to tell me next time I go in for my physical, but I don't know some things. And when those things come, I don't know what he's going to say. And what he's going to say might scare everybody else, but I have to realize the treasure I have is greater than the trouble that is coming against me. And when I realize my treasure is greater than my trouble, I don't get stressed out. I went to get a physical. This was about a year or two ago. And they put that little thing on your finger, and they got you hooked up to everything. And she looks at the reading. She says, that's not right. And I said, what? She goes, oh, there's something wrong with this machine. Let me go get the other machine. She brings in the other machine. She's like, oh, my goodness. She goes, I'm going to go get one of my peers to look at this. I've never seen this before. When they start showcasing you as something they've never seen before, it's either really, really good or really, really bad. And she came in and she said, man, I've never seen some. They hooked me back to the other machine. And my heart rate was 41 beats a minute. They said, man, you're a pretty chill dude. I said, if you only knew. Listen, you must have a stress-free life. You don't. And I didn't tell them what I did. I didn't tell them that sometimes I go through mess. I didn't tell them that sometimes trouble really comes against me. I just said, you know what? I don't have a stress-filled life because stress knows it cannot stay. Because trouble always leaves when it's faced with the treasure that is in this earthen vessel. You've got a treasure. You've just got to showcase it. You don't got to scream about it. You don't got to shout about it. When trouble comes, you just need to remind trouble, I'm not that person anymore. You can't stay here. There's no place for you. That guest room you used to stay in, that's now my home office. That's my secret place of thunder. I don't have a bed for you to sleep in anymore. I don't have enough food to feed you anymore. But here's my treasure. Would you like to see my treasure? And when it sees your treasure, trouble will excuse itself and say, I'm sorry, I did not know that you were this kind of person. Now I'm going to go pick an easier prey. Somebody say amen. I'm perplexed, but not despaired. What does that mean? I don't understand what's going on, but despair means to lose hope, but I have not lost my hope. We have to get to a place of faith that we don't have to know everything that's going on, and we don't have to know the how because we know the who. How many of you have children living in your house? How many of your children know all of your business, know every bill you pay? Know everything that you go through to make sure that they get to school on time, make sure they have a house over their head, make sure that sometimes they do get the new Jordans or they do get the new iPhone. Most of them don't know. Now, I'm trying to teach my kids as best as I can to prepare them for what we call the real world at 18, but I shared with all of the young people a couple weeks ago, I'm paying bills that they don't even know exist. Tyler at 15, Jaden at 13 don't have to know everything, because they rest in the Father that He knows and that He's going to take care of the things that they don't know how to do. And that let me tell you something. I don't know everything that God is doing. I'm grateful that He woke me up this morning. I'm grateful that I'm in my right mind today. I'm grateful that I'm in a church with the best looking, the most talented, the most anointed people on the planet. I know a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that I think God is really doing some awesome stuff, just saying, Michael, Gabriel, Brandon only knew what we were really doing. He would praise us a little harder, worship us a little deeper, serve with a little more oomph and gusto. I'm here to tell you, I don't have to know the how, I just have to know the who. And a lot of times I don't know what's going on around me. I am perplexed, but I have not lost hope because I know Him. And so I can praise God. I can be faced with trouble. I cannot understand my circumstance. And then I can take a step and rest in God and say, God, I don't know, but You do. I'm perplexed. What is this? I can't believe I'm facing this today. I can't believe I'm going through this today. And then I just say, but let me remember, I'm in God's hand. Let me remember the treasure I have gives me hope, because that treasure is going to keep me alive. That treasure is going to keep me moving forward. I'm perplexed but not despaired. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You don't have to know everything, and you can have a sound mind. You can sleep soundly, not knowing exactly how it's all going to work out, but just knowing in faith in Christ, it will work out for my favor. 1 Corinthians 2:16, what are my daily prayers? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We think like God. We respond like God because we think like God. The third promise, persecuted but not forsaken. I might have people come at me, but God is with me. I might have people attack my character, but God is with me. I might have people question my calling, but God is with me. I might have people doubt my vision, but God is with me. I might have people run their mouth about my family, but God is with me. I might have things come against me that I don't understand, but God is with me. The rug might be jerked out from under my feet when everything was perfect, but God is with me. When I make my bed in hell, God is with me. When I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He is the fourth one in the fire. When I thought I was all by myself, I looked up and there there the Son of God shows up 3,000 years early in the front. I don't have to fear what I'm going through and the persecution because God is with me. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, remember they hated me first. Matthew 5, 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is any time that God says, blessed are those, that means there is a distinct promise for those that he is about to talk about. I am here to tell you that there is a blessing in your life that can only be brought forth when you're persecuted. It does not happen in times of peace. It does not happen when everything is as it should be. But when people come against you, God says, all right, if you just keep the faith, I'm about to release a special anointing that I only give to the persecuted. I'm about to give you a blessing that only comes when you're pressed, only comes when you're persecuted, only comes when people come at you. I am persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Fourth and finally, I'm cast down, but not destroyed. What does that mean? I'm down, but I'm not out. I'm down, but I'm not out. Proverbs 24, 16. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. My treasure doesn't allow me to stay down because my treasure, part of the ingredients of my treasure is what we call resurrection life. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is a part of my treasure. It's wrapped up in an earthen vessel. You ought to tell the devil, don't try me. I know I don't look like I can fight, but I can throw down. And if you put my back against the corner, I'm not going to cower in the corner anymore. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight you tooth and nail to get everything that God has called me to have. I know you knocked me down, but I'm going to get right back up. And when I get back up, I'm not going to be hunched over. I'm going to get up, wipe the spit and blood out of my face, and I'm going to keep on coming at you, and I'm going to keep coming at you until I evict you out of my life. You might knock me down 10 times, but I am going to get up a 10th time, and when I get up, you've got to realize I will win.